The UN Security Council on Friday extended a deal that would allow cross-border humanitarian aid to continue flowing into Syria. This comes after a last-minute compromise between the U.S. and Russia, promising to help millions of Syrians for the next 12 months. For more, we are joined on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Aaron David Miller, Senior Fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
So how did Russia and the U.S. come to this agreement, and was it a difficult fight?
Well, President Biden raised this in Geneva with Vladimir Putin, and even before the administration wanted to put it on the Russians' agenda. Still, it's significant. There was great concern that the Russians, who were threatening to ban the single crossing that remains from Turkey into Syria, which benefits now some 3.5 million Syrian refugees who are displaced, and that number is now up by at least 20 or 25%. So it's good news, limited though it may be, because the Russians extended it for 6 months with an automatic renewal once the Secretary General of the UN files a report that ensures the Russians that these supplies aren't going to the benefit of they deem to be terrorist groups operating against the Assad regime, whom they support. And it shows that there is a limited area, at least, where the United States and Russia can cooperate.
What are relations in Syria looking like right now?
You know, it's probably unfair to say that the confrontation that began in 2011 is over, but the Assad regime, with tremendous support from the Russians and Iran, has more or less extended its control over most of the country, and that's unlikely to change. And the problem, of course, is that you have a variety of jihadi groups operating, which are backed by the Turks, whom the Russians want to some degree, placate because they're trying to sow dissension in NATO, and Turkey, of course, is a NATO member. But at the same time, Russian and American objectives in Syria are going to collide because the United States and much of the international community is simply not going to support the murderous regime of Bashar Assad. And that actually is going to guarantee a large measure of dysfunction and continued conflict, it seems to me, in Syria in the years ahead.
How will this humanitarian aid serve the country?
Well, it'll benefit the refugee population. Actually, refugees are internally displaced Syrians. They're the ones who are suffering as a consequence of, I guess you could call it, ethnic cleansing pursued by the Syrian regime with the support of Iran and the Russia. That humanitarian assistance is critical, and it's insufficient. There should be at least 3 or 4 crossing points, which would allow NGOs and the United Nations, most of the aid is being coordinated by the UN, to benefit much broader groups of Syrians and different kinds of support, including COVID vaccines. But all of that is limited by the fact that the Russians insist that major aid be supplied through Damascus. And that, of course, is something that the international community is not prepared to accept. They don't trust the regime, quite rightly. They don't believe the aid will be distributed equitably and fairly. And clearly, the regime would profit off of any aid distribution and would be perceived to be legitimate. So Syria is a mess. And unfortunately, tragically, the largest single refugee flow since the end of the Second World War, it's likely to remain a dysfunctional ward of the international community for a long time to come.
How does this decision impact U.S.-Russia relations?
Well, as I mentioned, I think it provides some measure of hope that there are issues on which the United States and Russia can cooperate. But there are so many others that in which we seem to be at odds. The ransomware attacks, and that actually is going to be the main story, how and when the administration, having now warned Mr. Putin twice about these groups operating under his control and the ones that are sponsored directly by the Russian government, the attack on the Colonial Pipeline, the ransomware attack, probably the largest in history, not just on American businesses, but on businesses all over the world. The Biden administration is going to have to respond, and how they're going to do it is still unclear. When they're going to do it, we also have to realize that we are in a glass house in this country. Most of our gas, power, and water providers are done through the private sector, and many of those are not well equipped with respect to their own security systems, with respect to blocking penetration by these professional hackers. So I think Biden will look for a proportionate way to respond, but he has to do something.